Welcome back to Page of the Wind, the podcast where we read Patrick Rothfuss's The Name of the Wind, page by page. This is page 260. Chapter 37, Bright-Eyed. Lauren led the way across the courtyard. That is what most of the discussion was about, Master Lauren explained, his voice passionless as stone. You had to have a tuition, everyone does. I had recovered my composure and apologized for my terrible manners. He nodded calmly and offered to escort me to the office of the bursar to ensure that there was no confusion regarding my admission fee. After it was decided to admit you in the manner you had suggested, Lauren gave a brief but significant pause, leading me to believe that it had not been quite as simple as that. There was the problem that there was no precedent set for giving out funds to enroll students. He paused again. A rather unusual thing. Lauren led me into another stone building, through a hallway and down a flight of stairs. Hello, Riam. The bursar was an elderly, irritable man who became more irritable when he discovered he had to give money to me rather than the other way around. After I got my 3 talents, Master Lauren led me out of the building. I remembered something and dug into my pocket, glad for an excuse to divert the conversation. I have a receipt from the broken binding. I handed him the piece of paper, wondering what the owner would think when the university's master archivist showed up to redeem the book a filthy street urchin had sold him. Master Lauren, I appreciate you agree, and that's the end of the page.
I'm Nick.
I'm Jordana.
I'm Jeremy.
Oh, and I forgot to mention that in the 10th anniversary edition, this is page 250.
Hooray!
So I appreciate that Quoth has taken the time to apologize for his ghastly behavior on the previous page.
Mm-hmm.
Which, frankly, I still find a bit, like, out of character. I know we talked a lot about how it's maybe an understandable outburst given the emotional stakes involved, but it really feels like a loss of self-control that Quoth wouldn't make still, so I'm still kind of smarting from that. And it's glossed over so easily.
I don't know, like, we all make mistakes, right? Like, he had a moment. It doesn't matter that it's necessarily out of character because it only really happens once. Like, all sorts of people do things that are out of character, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess this is the explanation for the weird way of putting it, of, like, the bait and switch that Rothfuss does, of the less mm-hmm. 3 talents.
Yeah.
So maybe this is
you have to have a tuition.
Exactly. So just it's a bait and switch. Instead of them just saying, okay, we're going to give you 3 talents and you're admitted, they have to have that
mm-hmm.
whole rigmarole with the contract.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose. So it's rather unusual, Lauren says that it's rather unusual that they give out funds rather than taking them.
Well, it's not just unusual, it's unprecedented. It's never happened.
Mm-hmm. Right. But he does say it's a rather unusual thing.
Oh, right, okay. Carry on.
I think, though, that this is... It's good that it's happening, and I would consider it progress in their world, because, like, for example, in our world, we have things like OSAP that allow people who can't normally go to school to go to school. Like, OSAP is the reason I did post-secondary, because
OSAP
otherwise it never would have happened.
Ontario
Student
Assistance Program, or...?
Something like that. I honestly don't remember what...
It's a loan from the government.
Yes.
For those of our listeners who do not live in Ontario and have no idea what OSAP is.
Yeah. OSAP gives you a little bit of money so that you can actually afford to go to school.
And then you're saddled with student debt forever.
Yes, but you know what? At least I could afford to go to school at some point, and the interest rate is very low.
Yeah, this is a grant, not a loan.
Oh, yeah,
they don't
expect
him to pay it back.
Oh, that's a good point.
Which is even better than student loans.
Even better progress than the current
maybe
state.
This is the beginning of the, like...
the Quoth Scholarship?
Yes, the Quoth Son of Arladin Scholarship Program. Sending bright-eyed waifs to the university.
Very fun. How do you guys pronounce Riam, the bursar's name?
That's how I would pronounce it.
Yeah, I would say Riam.
Okay.
You'll see.
You could say Riam.
Riam or Reem.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. the French place is Reims, right?
I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Never mind.
this guy comes back. I
The Bursar?
The Bursar. Well, he's often sort of a like a background character who's set dressing, and then Quoth eventually cuts a deal with him to get a cut of... What is it he does? He ends up basically getting a salary. He ends up drawing a salary somehow. I think it's because he's getting a cut of the sales from his lamp down the line.
Mm.
So this Bursar guy who is... We don't get a ton of information about him, but he ends up being kind of an ally and kind of a bro.
Does that happen in this book?
I don't think so. I think it happens at the end of Wise Man's Fear when everything is fine, when he finally has a source of income and he's become a adventurer. This legend has begun. Everything's fine and nothing will possibly go wrong at the end of the Wise Man's Fear.
Right.
Correct.
I'm out of notes for this page. I didn't have a lot.
Yeah, I'm... I don't have a ton to say about this page as well, except that the... I'm glad that Quoth brings up what he's bringing up with Lauren, and we'll talk more about that on the next page.
Mm-hmm. And this leads a bit into a talk about Lauren that I want to have tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we'll have that talk.
What a strange guy he is. But we do have some mail.
Hooray!
So no time has passed for you, the listener, but it's actually been a bit of a break since we had the opportunity to sit together and record the podcast, so... We have banked quite a few letters, so for the next couple weeks, I expect we'll have a letter at least every day. So, this is from a new writer. This is a letter from Jack. Jack writes, "Hi all. I've been waiting to get to this page, 212, for a long time."
A long time.
Thank you. "I can't remember where I saw this, but I thought Pat said somewhere that Scarpy naming Quoth was an oversight that he forgot to take out of the book. Now I can't find it, so maybe I am just making up things. I also think it is important to hear the two Tarbin stories and compare them. In the story of Teluan and Canis, Telu seems to act like an emir, does all these gruesome things for the greater good. In the Lanra story, Telu seems to be part of a third entity, angels, and not part of the emir. The actual Telan Church would seemingly tell a third story, thus continuing the idea of unreliable narrators. I also think it goes to the idea of story degradation over time as different people tell it. All these stories may originate from the same one, but as it gets spread, people pick different parts to emphasize. Finally, at one point, the chronicler says of Quoth that this is a man who has killed an angel. Could this be one of Telu's group that attempted to keep the Emir versus Chandrian war at bay, and killing one of them brings imbalance to the world? I love the podcast, and I can't wait for more crackpot theories. I also can't wait until we get to Denna, as I have lots of thoughts on her. Signed, Jack." Well, Jack, thank you for writing. We have already got to Denna by the time we finally read this letter.
Whoops.
So I hope that we hear all of your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So let's address some of the things you bring up. First off, I also think I have heard somewhere Roth say that it was an oversight in the Scarpy naming Quoth, and he just forgot to like close that loop in editing, but I still kind of like it, and it's my headcanon.
No, this is my... Thank you very much for bringing this to my attention, Jack, because this supports my theory that close reading is a fool's errand. People read all kinds of shit into things that the author simply did not intend at all.
I submit to you that it could be a double bluff and that we are onto something, and Rothfuss is attempting to dissuade us so that we don't guess the end too soon.
Nick, I think I see a red dot on your forehead. I would perhaps get out of the line of sight of the window.
Maybe, well, to, so, okay, so... Maybe you're both right. Maybe close reading is great because you can read into things that may or may not be important and thusly enjoy them. But Jeremy makes a good point in that not everything is a clue.
Sure, not everything is a clue, but you must admit that there are clues in this book.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Explicit clues left by the author.
Yeah, but why follow them? Why not just wait for things to unfold in their natural course?
Okay, well, there's the door. If you're not enjoying this... We can replace you with, I don't know,
perhaps Jack would like to come on our show.
Yeah, Jack, come on and tell
no,
us.
No, guys, I need this. I need this,
now,
please.
The character that steals the moon is named Jack, right?
Jax,
right.
Possibly.
Or yeah. Yax.
Right, okay. Well,
I like
trying to come up with a fun nickname.
Jack, no, not all of our writers need nicknames.
I like it.
Okay, well, you can do that on your own.
Workshop
time.
It, yeah.
Jack brings up the idea of story degradation, which is something that we don't talk about much on this podcast and isn't really brought up as a concept in the book. I think unreliable narrators are sort of not explicitly referenced, but it's a concept that like people in the book are aware of?
No, I think this concept is integral to the book, because Kvothe's story is a broken telephone story. That like, the whole reason he's telling his story is because no one knows the real story, and they've all invented or embellished and played broken telephone with it, which is basically what he's talking about.
But he himself is an unreliable narrator.
Sure, those are two separate and distinct things.
Okay. I think I've committed a bit of a fallacy in that I'm very familiar with the unreliable narrator, and that's a lens I look at the book through, but I hadn't thought about the concept of story degradation, which is that a story retold will morph as different people hear it and retell it.
Oh, see, I think of that as being like the more integral than the unreliable narrator.
Maybe
in terms of the theme of the book.
I mean, I think you're right. It may be that that is being less front and center in the discussion. I don't know. I think I'm just flapping my gums at this point.
Mm, all right. Well, they're very nice gums.
Well, flap your gums no longer.
I think that the idea that Jack raises towards the end of the letter, that Kvothe has killed one of Tellu's angels and thus upset the sort of balance between the Emir and the Chandrian and whatever's happening, I think that's an interesting idea that bears putting a pin in.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's possible. Certainly the angels are, I mean, not certainly, but it's likely the angels are important in some way. And I bet you that he will kill an angel not realizing that it's an angel. I bet you that they're out there in... Mm-hmm.
What would you
in
bet?
In disguise. I don't know. It just seems like the way like the story would be structured. Like, so the thing that keeps coming up is that we're presented with a fantastic story. Kvothe kills a dragon. Kvothe rescues a maiden from Barrow Whites. Kvothe kills an angel. And then the reality is actually a bit more mundane. And so I bet that the core of the story of Kvothe has killed an angel is true, in that maybe angel is just a title that a secret society has. So he killed a member of the secret society. Or, you know, maybe they're literal angels. But I bet you that he doesn't, like, battle a seraph in full glory with its great white wings beating at his head as he chokes it to death. You know, I bet it's not nearly that exciting. I bet it's a bit more mundane than that.
All right. Very good, then.
Cool. Thank you for writing, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it for the page, so why don't we do a bit of housework, since it's been a while since we've tidied up the place.
Sweeping is no fun. I have to scrub the hearth and do the dishes.
That's okay, Jeremy.
We'll get a nice bath afterwards.
Ooh!
We are a proud member of the Dark Shelf Podcast Network, and you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Page of the Wind.
You can email us if you want to write us and tell us that we are wrong, or agree with us and tell us that we're right, or just...
You know, say hi.
Yeah, just say hi and let us know how you're doing. Tell us about yourself. We read every letter we get, although there's a bit of a backlog,
a delay.
Yeah, we record pretty far in advance. So if you write, it's likely going to be like 40 episodes until your letter gets read, but it will get read. So please write us at pageofthewind. Nope, at pageofthewind@gmail.com.
Correct. If you would like to throw some money our way and help support the podcast, it does cost us a little money to keep the wheels greased and all that good stuff. So if you want to add some grease of your own, you can go to patreon.com/pageofthewind. There's all kinds of cool bonus content. We put out an extra episode every month where we talk about, you know, the TAC board game or the 10th anniversary edition of the book and all the juicy appendices within.
And finally, we are supported by our network, Dork Shelf, and we write... You already said that?
I did.
Oh, okay. Well, we have a blog there. Did you already say that?
Yes, we do.
No.
I didn't say that.
Okay, that's what I was going to. We're supported by our network, Dork Shelf. They have a website, dorkshelf.com. At that website, every Monday, they publish a blog written by our very own Jeremy and occasionally by your very own me, with art by our very own Jordana.
Yay!
Mm-hmm.
So do check us out there as well.
Also, if you would like some sweet merch, you can go to jordanaheeny.threadless.com and click on the Page of the Wind section, and you can get some sweet Page of the Wind merch.
Page of the swag.
I think that's all the housework, so our encampment is now all nice and neat and tidy. What page was this?
This was page 250 in the 10th anniversary edition.
You don't say. Well, I've been Nick.
I'm always Jordana.
And tomorrow I'll be Jeremy.
And this has been Page
of
the Wind.